بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, one of the very great favors, bounties and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept his door of tawbah, of repentance, wide open. That no matter how far a person may be, no matter what guna and sin a person may be involved in, no matter what his condition may be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, just turn to me, just make tawbah with sincerity, ask for forgiveness. And not only am I prepared to forgive you, I'm prepared to forgive and forget. At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kama la dhanba lahu. That person who will make tawbah, who will repent, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, it's as though he never committed the guna, the sin. We know in this world, somebody does me down. Somebody hurts me, usurps my rights, does something to me and my family. And then he comes and asks for maaf, for forgiveness. So I say, I'm prepared to forgive you, but I won't forget. Tomorrow if you're down and out, you need some assistance, you come back to me, I'll remember and I'll remind you of what you did to me a short while ago. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to forgive and forget. At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kama la dhanba lahu. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, At-ta'ibu habibullah. Not only is Allah prepared to forgive and forget, but a person makes tawbah, he repents to Allah. Allah says, I give you immediately guarantee that you are now my beloved. At-ta'ibu habibullah. That you become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here in the 24th juz, we heard last night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, قُلْ. That say to my slaves, يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. And which slaves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about? الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Those who have exceeded the bounds in guna, in sin. Ulama explained this word, أَسْرَفُوا, إِسْرَاف. We hear commonly the term إِسْرَاف. A person is extravagant. He spends beyond what is required. He's wasting. We'll say this person is making إِسْرَاف. He's being extravagant. He's breaking the bank. So Allah says, الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Those who make إِسْرَاف in their guna and sin. They exceed the limits. They go beyond all boundaries Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down. Every major sin a person commits. So Allah says to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, say to these slaves of mine, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah forgives all your sins. Minor sins, major sins, those sins where you are a repeat offender, Allah is prepared to forgive it. Like that hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam speaks about that person from the Bani Israel. We've heard the hadith before, who killed 99 people, 99 murders he commits, but his conscience is troubling him. So he goes to an abid, a worshipper, someone who is making the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he poses the question to him, that I have committed 99 murders, halli min tawbatin. Is there any tawbah for me? Will Allah forgive me? This abid, he was a worshipper of Allah, but he didn't have the recognition of Allah. He didn't have the ma'rifat of Allah. So he says to him that one murder, do you know the punishment? That وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ. That person who will kill a person intentionally, then his jaza, his recompense is Jahannam. خَالِدًا فِيهَا. And he'll dwell forever in Jahannam. وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Allah becomes angry with him. وَلَعَنَهُ. Allah curses him. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. Allah has prepared a grave, a severe punishment for him. So that's for one murder. You committed 99 murders. There's no tawbah for you. So he thinks to himself, if that's the case, I might as well make it a century. He kills that person also. 100 murders now he has committed. But still his conscience is troubling him, eating up at him. So he goes to an alim from the Bani Israel, someone who had the ma'rifat of Allah. Someone who recognized Allah and his sifat of forgiveness. So he goes to him, he says, 100 murders I have committed. Is there any tawbah for me? So this alim says that which guna is too big for Allah? Which sin is too big for Allah? In reality, ulama say, if a person says, many a times we find people say, that what and what guna I have committed, where is Allah going to forgive me? They say, in actual fact, this is actually badgumani of Allah. That you are now restricting Allah's forgiveness. Allah's forgiveness is unlimited. So he says, which guna can Allah not forgive? You turn to Allah, make tawbah, and go to qariyatu salihin. He says, go to this village, this town where they are righteous people. Go and join them, spend time in their company, learn from them, bring their attributes within yourself, and Allah will forgive you. So this person sets off, he makes tawbah and he sets off. And en route, Allah makes it such, Malakul Maut comes, this person's soul is about to come out. And now the angels come, the angels of Adab, angels of punishment. They come down and they want to take this person's soul away. And then the angels of Rahmat also come down. That no, this person was on his way to make Tawbah, on his way to Qariyatul Saliheen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires them that measure the distance from his body to either of those towns. And whichever one he is closer to, those angels can take him away. So the riwayat says, Na'a bi sadrihi, that this person, in those last few moments of his life, he pushes his chest forward, trying to go closer to Qariyatul Saliheen. And when the measurement is done, calculated, they find that his one hand span closer to the town of the righteous people. Allah says, forgiven. The angels of Rahmat, you can take his soul away. 100 murders this person committed, but one time he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Tawbah, Allah says, forgiven, and you become my beloved. Like how Mashayikh say, that person, his whole life he was worshipping idols. So every day, every night he would chant out, Sanam, Sanam, Sanam. Sanam means idol. So he would call out, Oh Sanam, Oh Sanam, Oh Sanam. For his entire life, this continued. One day, by mistake, slip of the tongue, he says, Ya Samad. He calls out Allah's name, Oh Samad. Allah says, Labbaik. Oh my slave, what is it that you want? I'm prepared to listen to you, I'm prepared to answer you. So, Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Allah forgives all gunas, all sins. La taqna, the person should not ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is when it comes to guna and sin. And then, more than that, mufassirin explain any person going through any difficulty in his life. Some rough patch, financially there's difficulty. After COVID, his business is not doing well. Or there's some family member has been diagnosed with some chronic illness. Doctors have given him a few weeks, few months left. Whatever it may be, some marital problem person is going through. And he feels as though the entire world is closing in on me. I can barely breathe. I don't know where I'm going to find a way out from this difficulty. So here also Allah is saying, لا تقنطوا, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, Allah makes the impossible possible. Allah makes the impossible possible. Allah makes miracles happen. What for us is impossible, for Allah is nothing. So don't ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One family member, he mentioned an incident, a really touching incident regarding this verse. So he says that my daughter was born, beautiful baby. And we know the atmosphere in the house when a child is born. How much of joy, how much of happiness, how much of khushi. So he says, this daughter of ours was born, coolness of our eyes. But after a few weeks, the mother notices that this child is not waking up. The child is sleeping throughout the day, throughout the night. Each time she attempts to feed the child falls asleep. So they take this child to the doctor, some tests are done, scans are done. And they realize the child has a hole in the heart. She requires open heart surgery. The doctors say that that surgery, the outcome is 50-50. Either she'll come out of there, she'll be cured, or she'll come out in a body bag. And we can imagine now that environment of joy, of happiness, now suddenly this, nobody can smile anymore in that house. Everyone is worried, pareshan, what's going to happen? So nevertheless, he says that we had to admit her into a hospital, and we continue to visit her every day. She's in the ICU. And he says, just seeing that small child, her body barely the size of a shoebox, and all those tubes going into her body, every part of her body they could find, just covered in tubes, machines all around her, screens all around her. He says, our heart used to break each day as we went to see her. Until finally, he says, the day came where it was her surgery was about to take place. So he says, we're in the waiting room of the hospital, and as we are waiting, the doctor comes to say there's a slight delay. Because there's an emergency case has just come in. So he says, I go out of the waiting room and I see a child being wheeled in. And this small child, and the child's head is 3 times the normal size. He says, Ya Allah, what has happened here? So the doctor says, this young child had that same surgery yesterday. And some negative reaction the body had, and we don't think this child is going to make it. He says, now I lost hope completely. That my daughter is going for that same procedure in a few hours' time. And this was the outcome this child went yesterday. What's going to happen? So he says, my daughter had that hole in her heart. I also had a hole in my heart. So he says, I phoned my sheikh and I asked him, Hazrat, what do I do? I'm losing hope right now. So he tells him, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. As you think of Allah, Allah will treat you. Have good thoughts of Allah. Allah will make the outcome favorable and positive. So he says, Nevertheless, we sat, we waited, and now it was time for them to take her in. They took her in. And now we came back in the waiting room. There was nothing we can do. We have to wait for the surgery to be completed. He says, I'm looking at my wife. My wife is looking at me. The tears have dried up also. We can't even cry any longer. So he says, eventually I put down the musalla and I decided to make tilawat of Quran. So he says, I opened, just randomly I opened the 24th juz. And he says, at the bottom of the page, I read the ayat on the bottom of the page. And as I turned the page, the first ayat, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. He says, that ayat came. Allah made it such, I opened to the... He says, when I read that ayat, now I broke down into tears. Now suddenly the tears came once again. And then I said to Allah, oh Allah, I know you won't disappoint me. You made me open to this verse, لَا تَقْنَتُوا. I'm not going to lose hope in you. I'll continue to have hope. So he's narrating the story. He says that now it's 7 or 8 years since that surgery. Not one checkup, not one time we had to take her back to the hospital, not one more scan. The child is healthy, running and playing with all the other children. When Allah wants to make favorable conditions come, against all odds Allah will make it happen. So here Allah is saying, لا تقنطوا, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. Then Allah says, turn to your Rabb. Turn in tawbah to Him. وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ. Submit before Allah. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابُ ثُمَّ لَا تُنصَرُونَ. Turn to Allah, submit before Allah before it is too late. We heard last night also the signs of Qiyamah. That when those signs will come, a person finally realizes it will be too late. So Allah says, before it's too late, turn to me. And then Allah says on the day of Qiyamah, how insan will regret. That أَن تَقُولَ نَفْسٌ يَا حَسْرَةَ عَلَىٰ مَا فَرَّدْتُ فِي جَنْبِ اللَّهِ. That when a person sees the adab, the punishment in front of him, and he realizes that I left this world without making tawbah, then he'll address himself on the day of Qiyamah. He'll say, how severe is my grief right now? Why? Because I fell short with regard to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِن كُنْتُ لَمِنَ السَّاخِرِينَ. And when people would remind me, they would tell me, let's go to the masjid, let's perform our salah, let's change our life, let's do our business correctly. Each time they would give me reminders, I would see things happening around me, but I would make a joke out of it. وَإِن كُنْتُ لَمِنَ السَّاخِرِينَ. I would say to them, how backward are you? Where are you going to be so strict in today's time? So I didn't take it seriously. Now this person will say, Ya hasrata. How severe is my grief? I wish I had listened to them, I'd taken heed, and I had turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he'll say, لَوْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ هَدَانِي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Once he realizes now that the punishment is there, now he tries to talk his way out of it. So he'll say, if only Allah had guided me, if Allah gave me hidayat, I would have had taqwa. So it's not my fault, it's Allah's fault. Allah didn't give me hidayat. How can Allah blame me and punish me now? لَوْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ If Allah guided me, I would have had taqwa. I would have done the right things. I would have had iman. Like how in dunya a person has that art of speech. He can talk his way out of any situation. He's exceeding the speed limit is on the highway. The officer says, you're doing lock-up speed. He says, some story he'll make and he gets out of it without even a fine. So on the day of Qiyamah also a person will think, I can talk my way out of my difficulty, out of my trouble. But again he'll realize that no excuses are going to work. That punishment is there. Then finally he'll say, لَوْ أَنَّ لِي كَرَّةً فَأَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. If only I had a chance to come back into dunya. Just one more chance, if Allah gave me an extension of my life, فَأَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, then I'll do righteous deeds. Allah says, بَلَى. This is never going to happen. قَدْ جَاءَتْكَ آيَاتِي فَكَذَّبْتَ بِهَا وَاسْتَكْبَرْتَ وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. My signs came to you, my reminders came to you, my warnings came to you, فَكَذَّبْتَ. You rejected them, you didn't want to take heed. وَاسْتَكْبَرْتَ, you were arrogant. You thought that your energy will last, your youth will last, your wealth will last. وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ, and you didn't want to accept my message. Now, وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ تَرَى الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ وُجُوهُهُمْ مُسْوَدَّةٌ. Allah says, all your arrogance, all your pride, all your boasting, all your wealth, on this day now your face will be disgraced. Now there is no honor for you, no respect for you. So in very graphic detail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paints this picture of what will happen on the day of Qiyamah. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that a person cannot hide from Allah. No matter what a person is engaged in, no matter what a person is doing, we cannot hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنُ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Mashaykh would repeat this verse over and over again. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنُ. Allah knows the treachery of the eyes. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi would mention also that one of the most destructive gunas and sins in today's time is the abuse of the gaze. That a person can be an old person, we say a person who is one foot in the grave, is in the hospital bed. He's got machines attached to him, tubes attached to him. But still he's looking at the nurse. Still he's abusing his gaze. Sometimes an old person, he can barely walk properly. But he's reading some news on the phone, and then some picture comes, and how he abuses his gaze. We don't even think about it. We don't even realize we're breaking the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many a times a person is reading a news article, or he's reading something else, he's seeing some advert somewhere, but there's a picture of a woman, her hair is open, her hands are open, and a person is abusing his gaze. So Allah says, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ. Where you didn't think Allah was watching, Allah was watching. Then in that famous poem, Moinus Patel Sahib Rahmatul Ali would quote also, جو کرتا ہے اہلِ جہاں چھپکے سے, that which you do, hiding from the people of dunya, nobody is watching you, کوئی دیکھتا ہے آسمان سے, someone from the sky is watching you. Allah's camera is upon your eyes. Allah is recording all the time, where a person is looking, what a person is thinking, what a person is doing. The example he gave, one person in one foreign country, so they have advanced technology. So he was driving, and the robot was green. He's doing within the speed limit also, robot is green. And as he passes, the camera flashes. So he thinks to himself that I now have a case against the state, that they're going to give me a fine, a ticket, for no reason. So he decides to go around the block and try it again. So he comes a second time, he sees again the robot is green, he's within the speed limit. As he goes through, again the camera flashes. So he goes and picks up a friend of his. He says, I want a witness with me, that I'm going to sue the state, they're going to fine me, I'll sue them and I'll make big money here. So he takes his friend with him, again they go through the green robot, and again the camera flashes. So he's waiting, he says, I'll wait for that ticket to arrive, and then I'll have a good time with them. When the ticket comes, he says he got a ticket for not wearing a seatbelt. So where he thought the fine was going to come, what he thought it was going to come for, and what the camera saw. So sometimes a person doesn't even realize we're breaking the command of Allah. Mashaykh explained, خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ, the treachery of the eye, that a person is sitting in the car with his wife. His wife is next to him, he's holding her hand also. And he's looking at her and speaking to her. But he's looking over her shoulder, there's a woman in the car next to me. He's looking at that woman. His wife is next to him, she doesn't even realize that he's not looking at me, he's looking behind me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows what goes through the heart. وَاللَّهُ يَقْدِي بِالْحَقِّ. And Allah will pass judgment بالحق والجستس. In Allah's court there's no oppression. وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ لَا يَقْدُونَ بِشَيْءٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Allah is saying, Allah is Sami', Allah is all hearing, al-basir. Allah is all seeing. Nothing escapes the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So like this, verse after verse we find in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His kindness, out of His compassion, out of His mercy, He's showing insan that you can't hide from me, you can't run away from me, just turn to me. And look at my forgiveness, look at my mercy, look at my compassion, look at my kindness. How can you turn away? How can you continue breaking my commands when it's just one tawbah you have to make? Just one time you have to turn to me. Just one time you have to have regret in your heart. You have to have little bit of remorse, little intention to change your life. I'm prepared to do it for you. I'm prepared to give you whatever you want. Many other ayat that we had planned to speak about, but we'll read a few passages from this kitab, inshallah. I've been meaning to read from this kitab from the beginning of the month of Ramadan, or from the last 10 nights. We'll just read a few passages from here. This kitab is titled Anwarus Salah, which Anwar is the plural of the word Nur. So Anwarus Salah refers to the abundance of Nur, radiance that a person can get through Salah. We know Salah is the greatest amal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in our lives. And in reality, Allah has given us our lives to connect to Him. Allah gave us our lives to recognize Him. Every limb of our body, our hearts, our minds, our brains, Allah gave us all of this to find Him, to recognize Him. And the medium Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created is Salah. That a person will read Salah and through this he will find me, through this he will connect to me, through this he will strike up a relationship with me. So we find, we hear these terms often, khushu, khudu, concentration, devotion in Salah. What do these terms mean? What is khushu, what is khudu in Salah? We read the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, إِذَا فَزِعَهُ أَمْرٌ. When something would worry Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, would trouble him, some pareshani he had, some concern he had over something, then immediately he would hasten to Salah. Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum also we find. The famous incident that Sahabi is performing Salah late at night. Two companions, they are guarding the Muslim army at the borders. And he's standing up in Salah, the other companion is sleeping. So they were taking turns. So he completes his salah and then he taps his companion. He says, I think I may be wounded, I may be injured. Can you just have a look and see? So his companion says, there are arrows within your body. What has happened? So he says, the enemy must have seen me standing up and reading salah. But I started Surah Kahf and I enjoyed the recitation so much I couldn't terminate my salah. So one arrow strikes him, second arrow, third arrow, he continues his salah. Only once he finishes the recitation, terminates his salah, now he's concerned, what has happened to me? So we read all these incidents about the concentration, devotion in salah. How do we get back to that salah of Sahaba radiallahu anhu? That one salah will carry them for the rest of the day. The two rakats of Fajr salah, read with concentration, with devotion, connecting to Allah. The rest of the day, that person is in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I know for myself now, I'm struggling to even remember Allah once in one salah. And we're making sajda, we're making ruku, we're standing up in qiyam, and our mind is everywhere else. Like that incident we mentioned before also, that in the one masjid, Zuhar Salah. So after the salah was completed, there was some ikhtilaf, some dispute amongst the musallis. So one half of the masjid is saying Imam Sahib only read 3 rakats. And the other half is saying, no, he read 4 rakats. So they're arguing, they're disputing. So one old mota stands up from the back. He says, I can guarantee Imam Sahib only read 3 rakats today. So they ask him, Haji Sahib, how can you guarantee? So he says, see, I have 4 shops. And every day in each rakat of the Zuhar Salah, I take hisab of each shop. Now how much we did for the day, the turnover, the sales, the profit. Today I know only 3 shops came out, 1 shop got left. So how much of ghaflat, how much of heedlessness in our salah? So here, Hazrat discusses the various aspects pertaining to the spiritual dimensions of salah. That how a person can get this concentration, this devotion in salah, for a person to understand what salah is, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me through my salah. So the first section where he speaks about the benefits of the different ibadat in salah. That in the performance of salah, a person gets the reward of all other ibadat within deen. The reward of all the major ibadat of our deen is included and benefited in the performance of just 2 rakats of salah. Only that person who is steadfast in his salah reaps these rewards. So he explains here how a person will get the reward of zakat in salah, the reward of hajj, the reward of fasting in salah. But we know all of these other ibadat, we find great amount of sacrifice is required. A person wants to go for hajj, we know how early he needs to put his name in, and he has to hope his name comes out, he's got to save up how much of money he's got to save, then book his tickets, book his package, then he has to get to the airport, travel such a long distance, long flight. He gets there, the conditions sometimes are difficult, the crowds are large. So much of effort and sacrifice goes behind hajj. When it comes to zakat also, the entire year a person is earning, he's working hard, he makes his profit, now he's asked to take out a certain percentage and give it away. When it comes to fasting in the month of Ramadan also, person oversleeps and he misses sehri, how difficult that roza is. By the time asar salah time comes, he can't wait to break his fast. So each of these ibadat, there's so much of sacrifice, so much of qurbani, mujahada. In 2 rakats of salah, how simple it is. A person makes wudu and it doesn't cost him anything. It doesn't take much physical strength also. A person can't stand up, he's permitted to sit down and read salah. He can't sit, he can lie down and read salah. Yet he explains that we'll get the benefit of all the different ibadat in our salah. So he explains the ibadat of zakat. That by performing 2 rakats of salah, a person can benefit with all the other ibadat. Money that is spent in any way, directly or indirectly, for the performance of salah. Normally, if we have to ask ourselves, how much did you spend for the 2 rakat salah you read? We'll say, I didn't spend anything. But he explains, the purchase of clothes. Whatever clothing a person is wearing, he's reading salah, he had to pay for it. He had to buy that kurta, sew the kurta. So it cost him money. Likewise, spending money for the water that one uses for making wudu and ghusl. So a person ponders over this, the water that I used, the clothing that I bought, all of this as though I'm paying zakat. And I'm getting a reward for this in my salah. Allah will count it as a reward for me. So this is when it comes to zakat. Then the ibadat of hajj in salah. So he explains that when a person makes takbir at tahrima, he raises his hands, then this is symbolic of entering into the state of ihram. When a person enters into the state of ihram, we know that different things are now impermissible. I'm not allowed to apply perfume, I can't wear certain garments, I can't do certain things. So likewise, when a person makes takbir at tahrima, I'm putting myself into a sacred state right now. Now I can't just think of anything. My mind can't wander. I can't be thinking of my business. I can't be thinking of my worries, my concerns. So I'm putting myself into the state of ihram. Standing in Salah is symbolic of standing in Arafah. A person stands in Arafah. The ruku, the sajda, and the rakats of Salah, that is the movements that are found in Salah, a person moving between the postures, this is symbolic of running between Safa and Marwa. This is how a person will get the reward of Hajj in the performance of just two rakats of Salah. Then the ibadat of roza, of fasting. When a person is in Salah, then eating anything is prohibited. So this is not only representative of the roza of not eating, but this includes fasting of speech, the roza of one's thoughts. One should think of nothing but Allah. This is representative of the ibadat of fasting while in Salah. In fact, from one aspect in Salah, the value of fasting is greater. In Salah, a person is actually getting more reward. Why? Because when a person is fasting, like now in the month of Ramadan, then a person keeps hungry without the need to constantly concentrate that he is fasting. You know, we're continuing throughout our day, our duties, whatever we have to do, and a person is in the state of roza, he's fasting, he doesn't have to concentrate. But in Salah, together with hunger outwardly, inwardly also a person's concentration is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This concentration has to be constant. Therefore, in one aspect, the value of the fast in Salah is actually greater than the fast out of Salah. So like this, various different ibadat that is mentioned, a person gets the reward of all of this in just two rakats of Salah. If we just have to ponder over this, just think over this before we start our Salah, then we can imagine how different the Salah will be. A person will understand, now I'm standing in the court of Allah, I'm presenting all these ibadat before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how much of reward am I accruing in this two rakats of Salah? And various different aspects that will be mentioned later on in the kitab. Whatever tawfiq we get, we'll try and read inshallah in the coming days, coming nights. But again, for us to, the main thing is for us to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The salah must become a medium of connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, whatever they needed, whether they needed a shoelace, whether they needed a miswak, they needed food at home, they would turn to salah. I have to ask myself the question, that if I have a headache also, I'm rushing to take a tablet. I'm rushing for some treatment. I've got a little bit of pain, I'm rushing to go to the doctor. That is in its place, of course. We have to use the means. Allah has created it for us. But when last did we stop to think, let me perform two rakats of salah first. Just two rakats of salah, and see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do. One youngster, Allah had blessed him. A young boy in the Hifz class. So he heard this bayan from his ustad, that in salah, Allah will do everything for you. So, it so happened that his father got kidnapped and the news comes to him. He's in the Hifz class, he's in the madrasa, and somebody phones the ustad to say that the student's father has been kidnapped. Nobody knows where he is. So this young boy, 13, 14 years of age, the ustad says to him that I'm going to have to take you home, this is what happened. Immediately he says, give me 2 minutes. He stands on the side, performs two rakats of salah. So the ustad says, a young boy taught me a lesson. That he's going, we can imagine what must have been crossing through that youngster's mind. My father is gone, whether he'll come back or not. But he goes to Salah immediately. I know Allah will do it for me. So like that, Allah has given us aqal, Allah has given us intelligence. Allah has given us so much for us to understand. That Allah is prepared to give us whatever we want, whatever we need, whatever we require through our Salah, but for us to make our Salah a genuine Salah. For this, we have to make this effort, inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Make a short dua, inshallah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم يا أول الأولين يا آخر الآخرين يا ذا القوة المتين يا راحم المساكين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام Oh my beloved Allah, Rahim Allah, Kareem Allah, Oh my Allah, grant, make us true muqimeen as-salah, Oh my Allah, make our salah genuine salah, Oh my Allah, like the salah of sahaba kiram radiyallahu anhum, Oh my Allah, grant us the realization and understanding that you are prepared to fulfill all of our needs, Oh my Allah, you are prepared to forgive our gunas and sins, Oh my Allah, Oh my Allah, it is our own fault, our own shortcoming, our own weakness that we have not recognized your karam and your favors upon us, Oh my Allah. We have not understood and recognized your forgiveness, O my Allah, your mercy, your kindness, your compassion, O my Allah. Day and night we are enjoying your bounties, may Allah. We are drowning in your ni'mas and favors upon us, O may Allah. O may Allah grant us tawfiq to open our eyes and realize the hand that is feeding us, O may Allah. We make shukr to you for all your ni'mas and blessings, may Allah. For our food, our clothing, our families, our homes, our cars. For all the opportunities you have given us, O may Allah. All the avenues of deen you have created for us, O may Allah. We make shukr to you from the bottom of our hearts, may Allah. Don't take these opportunities and avenues away from us, may Allah. Oh, may Allah, we are too weak to bear any test from you, may Allah. Ya Allah, we are extremely weak. Don't test us, may Allah. Don't test us with poverty, with sickness, with hardship, with strife, with any difficulties, may Allah. Keep us with afiyat, may Allah. Keep us with afiyat, oh, may Allah. Protect us from all shar and evil, oh, may Allah. Oh, may Allah, keep us in your hifazat, in your protection. Keep us in your ni'mats and take us in your ni'mats. Protect the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Throughout the world, wherever there is difficulty, O may Allah, you remove that difficulty. Wherever the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is struggling, may Allah, wherever there are wars taking place, O may Allah, you come to their assistance and their help, O may Allah. O may Allah, accept all the ibadat, the amal that are taking place, whatever we have done from the start of Ramadan till now, you accept it from us, O may Allah. Ya Allah, we had no ikhlas, no sincerity in any of our amal, but still, O may Allah, you patch it up and accept it from us, may Allah. O may Allah, grant us the reward and the full reward of whatever we have done. Give us tawfiq to exert ourselves in this time that we have remaining, O may Allah. We don't know if we will see another Ramadan. We don't even know if we will see tomorrow, O may Allah. O may Allah, when the time of our mawt comes, let it be in a condition that you are pleased with us, may Allah. Not where we are breaking some command of yours, we are involved in some sin, some guna. O may Allah, save us from evil company, may Allah, from evil avenues and places, and all those things that will make you naraz and angry, O may Allah. O my beloved Allah, when the time for our mawt comes, let kalima be upon our tongues, O may Allah. Take us with iman, raise us on the day of qiyamah with iman in the group of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. O may Allah, reward our Nabi for all that he has done for us, all his du'as for us, all his teachings that he has left behind for us. O may Allah, you send your choicest salat and salam upon him, may Allah. O may Allah, give us tawfiq to send durood upon him on a daily basis, O may Allah. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين